1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. And the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD and LP are available by calling 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. The money we raise from the sale of our CD and LP goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And we've raised $104,431 for a wonderful group of people. Visa, MasterCard, personal check, we don't care. It's cool. Even send cash if you want. Send cash directly through the mail. Doesn't bother me. And, you know, they say don't send cash. Well, why? Why do they say, go ahead, send cash. Just means a postman out there, somebody's going to get rich. I send cash all the time just to see if I can do it. I suggest you do the same thing. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you and good luck. The United States military said a United States-led airstrike on Iraq today was essentially a self-defense operation. I don't know if you're aware of this. Many of you may be just getting out of work or just getting home from work. But the United States of America attacked certain military sites in Baghdad. The operation was a joint operation between the United States and Great Britain. The operation, Marine Lieutenant General Gregory Newbold said at a Pentagon news conference, was prompted by an increased threat to our aircraft and our crew. It reached the point that it was obvious to our forces they had to conduct the operation. The missions enforced the no-fly zones. They were part of a strategy, according to President Bush. And until that strategy has changed, if it has changed, we will continue to enforce them. These are no-fly zones, which means Iraqi aircraft may not fly in these areas, and it's patrolled by Allied aircraft. The United States and Britain attacked certain anti-aircraft installations that were trying to shoot down our planes. So we had ourselves a little scuffle today with the Iraqis, and I we're fortunate to actually have a member of the Iraqi mission. This is an Iraqi interest section of the Saudi embassy, I believe. Raj Fanin is joining us, and we're going to talk to him about this situation today. Mr. Fanin, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
All right. This is kind of tough, and I'm going to try to be as objective as I can in talking with you. What is the official feeling of the Iraqi government about this? The United States says your planes were flying in a no-fly zone.
Yes. This is typical of the United States to strike in this manner. This is for us, this is a cowardly and without provocation.
It's without provocation?
Yes.
Okay, even though there is a no-fly zone, American aircraft patrol that.
They are, for us, clearly in the Iraqi airspace, and as such, we have the right to defend our airspace. But this apparently is not understood by the United States.
And what is the official response?
It's very simple that this was a provocation that is without the, that this was without reason. It was a cowardly provocation. The people of Iraq are not going to sit back and allow this to continue. We will not allow our airspace to be patrolled by United States planes. We will give the United States 2 days to explain this murderous atrocity which has been committed against the Iraqi people. And this is the epitome of what we know as the ugly American. We will give America 48 hours for them to cease this attack, or we will have no choice but to launch an all-out attack against all American military force in the region.
And so you are saying that you're going to attack the United States military?
We will attack, yes. Your military force in the region will be destroyed. Your ships will be sunk. Your planes will crash. You have incurred the wrath of the Iraqi people. The no-fly zone does not exist. We have never recognized this no-fly zone. You have 48 hours to apologize and withdraw your force from Iraqi airspace, or you will be destroyed.
Because you're saying that within 2 days our planes cannot fly in your no-fly zone, or you're going to attack American forces?
We will attack, yes. And we will attack without mercy. This is going to be the complete destruction of American force in this region of the world. This will be complete destruction of the United States, its military arm, in the Persian Gulf. Because we will not allow America to tell us what to do. We have allowed this unconscionable control of our foreign policy, domestic policy, and the sovereign airspace of the Iraqi people. We have allowed this unconscionable control for this past 10 years. This is not going to continue. If America does not apologize and make restitution for this attack, we will attack America. We will attack, and then you will see. Then you will see.
Well, restitution, what are you talking about? Military, financial?
Then you will see the people of Iraq are not to be trifled with. You are going to wish that you had never attacked Iraq. Oh, when I think about it, it begins to make me so angry. This is for me...
Well, there's a personal stake in this for Americans, too.
But allow me to finish. This is for me a personal attack on my country. You fly your jets over Iraq. You drop your bomb. You attack these installations. You say this, you say that. But you never say, we are sorry for doing this. If you killed a child, if you killed a little child, what would you say? Is part of American policy? Is part of American policy to kill the little child? No.
Well, sir,
We will destroy you. We will drop our bombs on American ships. We will drop our bombs on American planes. We will shoot the Americans out of the sky. And then, well, you know, I don't want to be you. When you do this...
Okay, but sir, if I could just make a point...
And this is not a personal statement against the American people, because the Iraqi people love American people. This is about the American military.
All right, we're talking with Raj Fanin. He's with the Iraqi mission, and he is saying that his government is planning on attacking American forces if they do not apologize for their attack today on Baghdad. For those of you who don't know, the United States and Britain attacked some military, some installations, anti-aircraft, I believe, installations around Baghdad today. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is a uncharacteristic, if I may say this, Mr. Fanin, uncharacteristic response of hostility from Iraq.
But what would you expect from us?
Well, no, I know that.
What do you expect for this to take place in my country? What would you expect for us to say thank you very much? It is going to be on the heads of America that if you do not cease this provocation, President Bush himself, the President Bush, will bow down and kiss the feet of Saddam Hussein.
Well, this is very hostile. But
your attack today was hostile for us. This was hostile for us. We will make Bush, his wife, the children of Bush, kiss the feet of Saddam Hussein. Bow down, kiss his feet, go run a bath, everything. The Bush will do this.
You want to humiliate America.
You have humiliated us. You have humiliated us. You, with impunity, you attacked my country.
But, sir, the war ended. There was a certain accord signed, signed by the...
No, there's no accord signed. The Iraqi people, with a gun put in their head, were forced to this. This is no more. You have till Sunday, or we will destroy you. We will destroy you. Saddam Hussein will not be humiliated. George Bush...
Yes, sir.
We'll be forced to kiss the bottoms of Saddam Hussein's feet, lick them clean, and then reapply his sock and shoe. This is how I feel.
I understand your anger. I'm just saying, don't you think that there was a certain responsibility Iraq had to not flying aircraft in a no-fly zone? You were beaten in a war.
We thought this is over. This was 10 years ago. This is over.
All right, hold Raj Fanin from the Iraqi mission, 1-800-449-8686. If you listen to him, The Iraqis are planning a military counterattack against the United States as the result of today's attack by United States and British forces on anti-aircraft installations near Baghdad. That the Iraqis want an apology and restitution in 48 hours, or that, in his words, they will destroy all American military, the entire American military presence in the Middle East. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Joining us from the Iraqi mission is Raj Fanin, and he's talking about the United States attack today on Iraq in the no-fly zone, attacking a certain installations that were deemed anti-aircraft. Basically, what we've done is made you guys angry. I understand what you're saying. You're saying that you're going to destroy America, and I think that kind of hyperbole certainly doesn't lend itself to peaceful dialogue, do you, sir?
But this, you speak of a peaceful dialogue. It's not about a peaceful dialogue. It's about if America is going to push, Bush will wash Saddam's feet. Then
you're talking about Bush washing Saddam's feet.
Listen to me. Bush must wash Saddam's feet, dry them off with his hair. If this is done, then maybe, but only then.
George Bush should wash Saddam Hussein's feet, dry it off with his hair.
That's right. That's right. Because you humiliate us. Now we humiliate you. You don't even know. Man. You know, you talk about being pissed off. This pisses me off.
Well, all right. Okay, so we've pissed you off. We've got a few phone calls to get through here. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah.
Who's this? A phone call?
Yes, we've got people calling in to talk with you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
So I want to tell this guy, you know, if he wants to attack the United States, go ahead, because we beat you guys once, and we'll beat you again.
We will destroy you.
Oh, there's not a chance. Our military will crush you like a bug.
No, you have not crushed us yet. You've not crushed us yet.
We crushed you once, and we'll crush
you
again.
What did you crush? We're still there. Saddam is still there.
Saddam Hussein signed the peace treaty when we beat your ass the first time.
If you guys can't
abide by the peace treaty, we'll beat your ass again.
You're not going to beat nobody's ass, because you know why? We will destroy American ships, American plane in 2 days. You have 2 days. What's your name?
You better pack a lunch.
What's your name?
Bring your lunch. My name is David.
You bring your lunch.
You better pack a lunch.
Nope,
George Bush is going to wash the floor with you people. Saddam Hussein will be kissing George Bush's feet by the end of this.
George Bush is going to wash Saddam Hussein's feet with his tears.
Saddam will be kissing his feet, begging him to stop beating
you down again.
No, you know why? Because Saddam, he is not beat. He is watching color TV right now, watching VCR.
He's hiding.
He's watching
in a bunker while all your people get killed. He's hiding because he's afraid. He's a little girl. That's what he is.
He's watching
Saddam Hussein's a little girl.
Of a George Bush impersonator taking it in the butt. That's right. What do you think of that?
Sir, this is not very becoming of your country.
Yeah, I don't care. This guy's an idiot.
All right. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Wayne on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Fine, Wayne.
I'm in Glen Rose, Texas. You ever heard of it?
Sorry to hear that. What can we do for you?
It's your fault, and I apologize about that.
You're going to be kissing my butt.
This fanatic you have on the telephone, we need to make sure
that we
have his eye and beak on his house and the next box drop on top of his butt.
You guys are going to be sorry. You're going to be sorry.
No, I don't think so. The biggest mistake we made was not wiping your little hiney ass out the first time we had a chance.
Ooh, you called me a hiney?
Yeah.
That's right. What's that?
It's a hiney that you ain't got enough room of to put this bomb up your butt.
Hey, Wayne, You know a lot about putting things in butts?
I looked for one in yours.
Ha-ha.
You don't know about putting things in butts.
Ha-ha.
Wait a minute, gentlemen.
The thing has behind children over there.
You are going to be sorry if you don't apologize for putting what you did.
We do not owe you an apology.
Yes, you do.
You were fined upon our men and their airplanes, and we had the right to wipe you out, and I just wish we had.
You bombed my country? Why do you do that?
Why? Because you're fanatics.
You know something, Wayne? When we get done with you, oh, boy, you won't even want to look at it.
Well, excuse me, I'm shaking in my boots right now. You got me scared to death.
Just exactly what do you, Mr. Finney, think you're going to do?
We will attack America's presence in the Persian Gulf, America ship, America plane, all in to sunk to be destroyed. We'll destroy you, and after that, we will launch Scud missiles in the direction of the United States. Then where you live, Wayne, where do you live, Texas?
Oh, yeah.
We'll blow you up.
Okay, please come to my house. I'd love to see you someday.
Wait a minute. Do you really honestly think you're going to launch Scud missiles, intercontinental ballistic Scud missiles, to wipe out this guy's house?
No, but the point is, Americans talk a big game, but they haven't proved anything.
We don't hide behind women and children like you do.
Except for David Koresh.
Oh, excuse me. That has nothing to do with you.
Well, he hid behind women and children, didn't he?
No, he did.
Yes.
He was a fanatic just like you are.
He wasn't Muslim.
He was a fanatic just like you are. He's just as crazy as you are.
But he was from Texas, not from Iraq. So
well, that's not my
crazy
problem.
Well,
but you're threatening the president of the United States, and that don't wash in America.
The president of the United States.
That's Ben's making a good point. You're not going to say the president is going to be kissing anybody's rear end.
You better put Bush and peppermint foot lotion on a plane tonight to go to Iraq.
I hope President Bush gets a copy of this tape by tomorrow.
What's he going to do?
He's got a lot more power than you do, trust me.
Is he going to bomb me?
I'm going to go have a Subway sandwich. Kiss my butt.
Is he going to bomb me? Hello?
Nope, the guy hung up. And you belched into the phone, didn't you?
I don't like any of you.
No, well, we don't like you.
Good. That makes two of us.
Yeah, great. Sherry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Hi.
Yes.
I don't like
United States.
I mean, I was pretty pissed off before, like 20 minutes ago. I've been waiting here.
Now
I'm really mad at you because, you know, seriously, I don't know if you guys have some ammunition, like, stored away that you haven't told
us about. You talking about Iraq?
Yes, I'm talking about Iraq. And the fact that we totally crushed you, like David said before, that you think you're going to just come back here and just...
You'll be destroyed.
Okay.
How are you going to destroy us after we already proved in the Gulf War?
If you do not apologize for a dropping bomb on Iraq today, this Friday, we will go over to where your ship is and blow it up.
Okay. Yeah, you can just keep talking.
You know something? You don't take me serious.
You know what? Because I think you're a lot of talk. I think you're...
You're a lot of talk. You didn't get... What about Saddam Hussein?
You're in Washington, D.C. right now, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, I agree with the man before from Texas. I think when George Bush hears what you're saying, I think that, you know, you're going to have a lot of explaining to do because I don't know who you are.
You know that women in my country would be beaten with a cane for speaking to me this way.
Oh, I'm so, so afraid.
How dare you?
Okay.
How dare you?
Okay, yeah, how dare you?
How dare you? You tell me? Are you talking? You show me no respect. I am the man.
Wait a minute. This
You're
is an American.
Man?
This is an American, and she's an American woman. They don't bow down for anybody.
I will
especially
make her bow.
Raj, especially you.
I will make you bow. You will be my wife.
Oh, yeah?
Yes,
no,
I will.
The farthest thing I'll be doing is bowing down.
You know what I'll do? I will make you bear my child.
Oh,
yes.
Sure.
You
called rape, Raj.
No, you will look at me and you will want to have my child. And you will say, I'm sorry,
sure
Raj.
I would love a little Raj. Okay.
And this Gretevon Sustan.
Yeah? What about her?
You're nuts.
I want her.
You've gone nuts.
I want her.
Oh,
all right.
God.
You wait. You
shut up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. trying to kill me with that bumper music, man? I think you edited it together like that just to drive me nuts, just to make me bleed from the ears. Okay, Phil Henry here, 1-800-449-8686. All right, thank you to Raj Fanin for joining us from the Iraqi mission. But seriously, this strike against Iraq today I thought was fascinating from one particular standpoint. I don't know what I did with my notes on this, Mike. Did I throw them? Oh, here they are. I think it's interesting from this standpoint. So what happened? There were some American planes getting shot at, some Allied planes getting shot at, and we never lost a crew. The Iraqis have been shooting at us periodically for years. Never have we lost a crew, never have we lost a flyer during that period of time. And in point of fact, during President Clinton's presidency, these attacks took place, and he sort of took a bit of a laissez-faire view of this, meaning every time you were flying over the no-fly zone and you got shot at and you turned around and attacked those installations, all that does is begin to muddy the waters for whatever else we got going on in the Middle East in terms of our negotiations. You see, there's a whole thing called multilateral negotiating. It's a multilateral world, my friend. You take a crap in one guy's yard, and the guy three doors down knows about it and gets upset about it. That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in, whether you like it or not. So you start shooting at every single Iraqi anti-aircraft battery or whatever it is that they're doing, and that starts to stink things up for whatever other games you got going on. The Saudis don't dig it. The Syrians ain't digging it. We got a whole thing going on with Israel. We got a whole thing going on with the Palestinians. See, I'm explaining it to you, right? I don't care whether you think that we have a right. Maybe we do. Maybe we have a legitimate right as enforced by a treaty to do that. Was it smart to do that? See, here's the point I'm getting at. Bush is president. I don't know what his approval rating is like, but he has been overshadowed recently. Are you following me? You got it. He did it on purpose so that people will love him. Look, we just talked about it yesterday. Clinton has been getting all the ink. He's been getting tons of ink, tons of play on television, tons of play in the newspapers, magazine articles, all kinds of people following around. Everybody loves this guy. Bush, he's just sitting there as president. Because let's face it, whether you like him or not, President Bush is not as charismatic as President Clinton. He just doesn't cut the daring, dashing figure that Clinton cuts. He just doesn't. There's just no way around it. Is he a more decent man? Perhaps. Is he a better guy? Maybe. Is he a better president? We don't know yet. But I'll tell you this much. Compared to Clinton, he seems like he really loves his wife. He seems very devoted to his family. He seems personally to be a more decent guy. But that isn't what it takes to be president. What it takes to be president, at least in the United States of America, is to be a decisive guy. So this cat has got to do something. He sees Clinton get all the ink. Some guy sits in a cabinet meeting and says to him, you know, Mr. President, you could really pop that approval rating. How do I do that? Well, that Gulf War did wonders for your old man. Okay, let's do it. What's going on? Well, these cats have been shooting at us. Boom! Next thing you know, he's ordered an attack. And why? Really, why? Gets everybody nuts. I went through this 10 years ago. I remember the Gulf War. You all remember the Gulf War. I remember listening to people talking, going crazy. You know, it was about freedom. It was about all this. I heard all the baloney. And Iraq is a really good fallback position for any American president. It really is. For any guy that's got a problem at home, it's a great fallback. Just go ahead and send a few Scuds in there. Just a little Patriot missile action going, whatever you want to do, and the next thing you know, you're number one on the charts with a freaking bullet. And I think that's what's going on with Bush. Nobody cares about Bush yet. He hasn't done anything, not that I think he should. See, I understand. I'm not nuts. I don't get my underwear in a bunch like a lot of people do. I realize it takes time. It takes a lot of behind the scenes. That's what Bush is doing right now. But it isn't sexy enough for a lot of people. What do you do? Do your little airstrike thing. Look at this. It's a solid freaking hour on CNN, man. Bitch, it's been all day. What do you think? All we did was do a little airstrike. It's all day. Because this sells records. This puts rear ends in the seats. This sells tickets. Going to break 3 million in attendance this year if we could do more of this. Airstrikes against Iraq. You can get, I mean, you put a lot of fannies in the seat with an airstrike against Iraq. Now, did we kill civilians? Probably not. Did we kill children? I saw the thing on CNN today online, and it showed the pictures of two little children laying in a bed, kind of staring down at the camera. And it said, children, casualties, Iraq claims children, casualties of American airstrike. The picture's probably 5 years old. They probably had the flu. I mean, I don't. They walked into a hospital. Who knows where they got the picture? Or maybe they were. I don't know. But I'm not so ready to, you know, hail this thing as anything other than what I think it probably is. President Bush is feeling a little out of sorts because Clinton still gets the ink. Clinton's still getting the big-time play. He's still getting the magazine covers. He's still getting the album covers. He's still laying on a beach with a glass of champagne. He's got all the paparazzi. It's like he's walking down a sidewalk in South Beach, and they got a camera right up the crack of his rear end. They love him. He's big-time.
You know, Bill, a little bit with a scarf. Okay, lean against the wall. He's a hit. He's a hit. And Bush ain't no hit. He's just Bush.
I get these emails from my relatives. I get emails from my father-in-law. He's a Republican. My mother-in-law is a Democrat, but you wouldn't notice it. She's totally a stone Republican in the way she thinks. She's a Democrat only because she comes from New Mexico. And New Mexico's a Democratic state. But other than that, she just loves Bush. She can't stand anything about Democrats. And I get these emails from these people all the time about what a crook Clinton is and what a piece of crap this guy, you know, everything that he did. And I keep having to remember these are coming from people who are in their late 60s, you know. So anyway, I think that's what's going on. I don't want to say that it's absolutely what's going on, but I think that I think Bush is just getting tired of being ignored, and the best thing to do. Now, does it sound like wag the dog? Yeah, it sounds a little bit like that, but it's not an earth-shaking, policy-shaking, policy-changing kind of a move. It's just a little nudge to the ribs, man. It's just a little elbow to the ribs, say, I'm still here. I'm the president, he ain't. I bet you anything that he didn't even make the decision. I bet you the generals just went ahead and did it. Then they told him later. And Bush like, what the hell did you do so I know what to say? Well, we went and we bumped. Don't even worry about it. Here, read this.
I ordered the... Okay.
Because he's down in Mexico. He's talking to my main man down there, Vicente Fox. Here, let's talk to Jay now. We got Jay? No, we don't have Jay. We do? Jay, hey, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, and I really enjoy your show. I've been a listener for about 3 or 4 years.
Thank you.
I got turned onto your show by a guy named Neil Rogers down in Miami years ago.
Yeah, he's a real piece of garbage, isn't he? Neil Rogers. There's a guy that they called me for a quote on his 25 years on the air in Miami, and right. I said I couldn't be bothered to give
Phil,
you a quote.
He's a big fan of yours.
Oh yeah, Neil Rogers is the gutless wonder of Miami radio. That's what he is. So what can we do for you, Jay?
Phil, I can't believe that you're making a serious statement here about President Bush's decision to attack Iraq today.
Well, I feel like it. I think it needs to be said.
Huh? You're saying he did it to get so he can get his name mentioned a little bit more in the news?
I think that what's happening is that Clinton, it's all Clinton. I can't believe it's still Clinton. It won't end.
What are you laughing about? No American president, no decent man would make a decision to attack another nation so he can get his name mentioned more in the news.
All right, let's forget about the news thing. Let's talk about what's been going on in Iraq for the last 5-6 years. This stuff's been going on. We haven't lost any crews. We haven't lost any planes. We haven't really. It's like a fly, you know. Do you want to get the fly swatter off the wall? Not really.
Well, didn't you hear the story about Saddam Hussein buying all the Sony PlayStations so he can build a delivery system for nuclear weapons?
Okay, so, well, that's one of the reasons why we ordinarily don't take phone calls. Is that true? I'm stupid. I don't know. I mean, was that a joke? Well, the guy said Saddam Hussein bought all the Sony PlayStations so he could build a nuclear weapon thing. It's not true? No, he wouldn't have done that? See, I don't know. Here, look at this. For the first time in years, I stop down and I say, hey, you know what, Mike, go ahead and take some calls on this. You know, it seems to me that Bush could be a fairly desperate character these days because of all the ink that Clinton's getting. And
it does seem suspicious that all of a sudden he wants to attack these military installations in Iraq when, in point of fact, we haven't done it for the last few years, and we haven't it really hasn't caused us any problems at all. And, yeah, I know the military said this, but the military lies. The military knows they lie. The military's been lying for years. It's one of the things they do well. They lie. And two things you should learn when you first leave the cradle. Two things. Don't crap in your diapers anymore, and the military doesn't tell the truth. Now, I'm not saying that makes them bad guys. They have to lie. They have to get money. The United States military right now is conducting... Oh, look, why do I want to get involved in a lot of heaviosity here? Half of you cats don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. Then I open the phone up for comment, and I get that joker. Do you really think, Phil, a president would affect policy? Sure, when the risk is minimal, when the outcome is fairly well assured, and when the risk to our people is minimal, and where the public relations is not going to be terrible, and maybe don't you think he consulted with Syria, Saudi Arabia, every one of these people that is either an ally or is a country that we have to reckon with, don't you think he called these cats ahead of time? You better believe it. You don't think Georgie Porgy is going to... Well, there I go. I'm getting bitter. I shouldn't call him that. You don't think our president is going to just unilaterally make a move like that without asking the permission of all those cats in bedsheets? Come on. Give me a break. So then I say to Mike, go ahead, let's take a couple of calls on this, Mike. And what do I get? Jokesville. And some guy asking me about Uncle Neil, who they called me up, they wanted to get a quote. You know, what do you think of his 25 years? I don't care. 25 years. All he does is cry about being down there. You never heard a guy snivel and whine more than him. I got so sick to death of it, I didn't want to talk to him anymore. I guess that made him mad. Okay, so anyway, George Bush, he's a great president, and I love him. I'm Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. So that's what I get for taking a phone call. I got a guy doing the joke. It's fine. It's okay. He was a nice guy. I guess people think they got to do shtick when they call this show. And I have only myself to blame. I just want you to be you. Be your ever-loving, ever-bubbly self. By the way, last night's Survivor, I'm just hearing about it because I haven't watched it. And the reason why I haven't watched it, we were in Mexico last week, and this week I didn't get around to doing it. You know what, man? I can't stay up on all the TV that I'm supposed to watch. It's one of the drawbacks to doing this gig, that I'm supposed to watch television so I can stay culturally connected, and half the stuff that you guys are watching, no offense, God, I hate it. But I got to watch it because you guys are watching it. And Survivor, I dig, but I just haven't been able to get to, I couldn't get to a TV last night. And Taylor's telling me some guy caught a pig last night and butchered it up and they had ribs and chops. All right. That's great. What? Who caught that? Was he? Was it a guy who was a hunter or something? Or he was a hunter. So he had some skill. He killed it with a sharpened stick. A Bowie knife? Where'd he get that? You're not supposed to bring that stuff, are you? I keep thinking of Lord of the Flies, where they killed that pig with the spear, you know?
Kill the pig, spill its blood.
Anyway, that sounds completely awesome. That's beautiful. And, of course, I missed it. However, there's going to be a few more episodes going with Temptation Island is ending next week. And that's a program that I will watch, and I hope they take it off the air, because I won't stop watching it unless they take it off the air. And I want them to help me. Please help me. Please, Fox, take that thing off the air, will you? No, of course they won't, because everybody digs it. Everyone's watching it. And how's that Billy and Mandy doing, man? Are they at each other's throats yet? Did he finally take a sharpened Bowie knife and kill that pig? And I'm just kidding. Because he really looked angry the last time I saw him. So Temptation Island, you know, again, the problem with that program is they got a lot of people on that show that
look better than I do, and I'll never be on that show. Survivor, I can make it on. As a matter of fact, where's Bud? Because we have the Survivor application. We have the Survivor application. Should I do it now, or do you want me to wait till next hour to do the Survivor application? I've got all of the things that you have to do to be on Survivor. Then I have the actual application, and I can bring Bud in. Hey, Bud.
Hey, man.
Come here for a minute.
Where?
Do you want to fill out this Survivor application?
Okay, let me...
Give it to me. Don't take it from my hand. In other words, do you want to answer the questions?
Yeah, or can I be on it?
I don't know if you can be on it. I can fill it out, and we'll submit it, okay?
Wait, let me see.
There it is right there, see? Well, give it to me. Don't stand there staring at it.
Hey, I'm going to do it.
Okay, well, we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that later, like next hour. We do have the entire Survivor application, which we can go through with you. But it's a really cool show, and I'm sorry that I missed it last night. Now, getting back to our dear president, I really wanted to wrap up my thoughts on President Bush. Well, actually, I don't have any more on President Bush. I got more thoughts on you guys with your phone calls. That's what I'm really thinking about right now. I don't take any phone calls. I mean, we take the phone calls when we have our guests on, but beyond that, we don't take any calls because we just don't get any interesting people calling. Now, that's not a bad thing, but we just don't. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have to take those calls at those particular times. We don't need you to be funny for us. We'll do that ourselves. Oh, you don't think I'm funny? Well, guess what? I don't need you to help me bomb either. So I'll decide what's funny, and I'll be the funny guy. We don't need you to tell us what you think about the latest moves in Washington, because that isn't that kind of a show that we do. We don't, what else? I don't particularly want to hear your stories about your house or your home life or your family, because most people don't know how to tell a really good story. We'd have to wade through, like, one out of every 200 phone calls we'd be able to put on the air. Because it just aren't interesting. So that's what we've had to do. We've had to stop taking phone calls unless we have a very stringent control. Like, what did we do the other day? Sack of crap or a true talent or a pant load. That was pretty cool because we told people exactly what to say. Otherwise, phone calls, especially on this show, just don't work, man. Phone calls from listeners. And I am one of the few, perhaps the only, talk show host in America today who has confidence enough to talk, tell stories, run my mouth, spill my guts, call it what you want, without taking phone calls. I don't know what it is. Must have been my father and mother, the genes, something. I'm just that brilliant. Anyway, so we will take that Survivor test next hour, and I think you'll find it fascinating, although I haven't read it, so it could be boring as hell for all I know. Although I did read the first few lines. You have to, like, be free to come to L.A. for 2 weeks, and you got to take a lot of time off, and that's even if you don't get on a show. To get on Survivor, you have to be able to take, like, 6 months of your year off, it sounds like, just so you can sit down and talk to these guys. I would love to just go on the interview process, that's all. See, if they've got actors and movie stars and all of this crap doing that show, why can't I be on it? Why can't I be on your show, Survivor, if you've got... And by the way, the L.A. Extreme, I got tickets, free 50-yard line seats from a very nice lady who works for Medallion Media, so I don't need your rotten tickets. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.